children hear the mighty deeds which God performed of old, which in our younger days we saw, and which our parents told. So make to the known his works of power and grace, and we'll convey his wonders down through every rising race.
Our sons and daughters we shall tell, and they again to theirs, that generations yet unborn may teach them to their heirs. Oh, teach them with all diligence the truths of God's own word, to place in Him their confidence, to fear and trust their Lord, to learn that in our God alone
the congregation is invited to stand. We follow the order of worship printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept the record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his children, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us. For his sake, he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven,
whose sin is covered.
Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity,
and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away
through my groaning all day long.
For day and night your hand was heavy upon me.
My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer.
I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found.
Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him.
You are a hiding place for me.
You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you also the Father, Son, we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Receive our heartfelt cry. Where you in power are seated, at God's right hand on high. For you alone are holy, you only are the Lord. Forever and forever be worshipped and adored.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O God, from whom all good proceeds, grant to us, your humble servants, your holy inspiration, that we may set our minds on the things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning of verse 7. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we remember, in the last couple of weeks, we've been thinking about Romans, and we've been starting at Romans chapter 12 and going. And I mentioned from Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul talks about for three chapters the Christian life, how we live as Christians. So that section of Romans continues today as he speaks about our life as citizens and living within our communities. From Romans chapter 13, starting at verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the verse.
Alleluia. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptations comes. And if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 in the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refused to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. We had our children's message way at the beginning, and so we continue with the sermon hymn, Shepherd of Tender Youth. Before, as you sing it, I have a note here to mention. Notice who wrote this. It says under the text in the very small print, if you can see it, Clement of Alexandria. And what is the date there? It's 170 AD to 220 AD. That's when Clement lived, and it's attributed that he wrote these words to this song. And he actually led a Christian school that trained pastors and bishops and I think deaconesses. And you can see as he speaks way back then, very early church, his heart and his emphasis that the children would learn God's word. We sing the opening hymn.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth, through devious ways, Christ our triumphant King, we come your name to sing, and hear our children bring to joy. Calls on you in vain.
The sermon today is based on the reading from Matthew that we just heard, and I'll refer to many parts of it, but to start, I reread verses 1 through 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When we were printing the bulletin, I had a little bit of a dilemma. It's a little bit of a longer reading. We've had some longer than this, but it's a little bit of a longer Bible reading. And you notice I kept in this time, I kept in the little subtitles. They're in the italics print. And I did that so that it might help the reader, us, see what the little next section is about. So those little subtitles the translators put in can be helpful, but at the same time, they can kind of cut up the text a little bit too much in our thinking. And actually here, in this text, it's a unified topic. He's talking about little ones, and he's talking about that the little ones would not be lost, and he's talking about to have a faith of the little one. It's actually one section of teaching that Jesus gives, despite the little subtitles. So I was thinking, should I put in the subtitle or not? And I put them in. But it's one section of teaching. And it starts out with the disciples asking, okay, and we see this, them doing this on a number of occasions, sometimes even arguing who of them is greater. But they asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, in this question, it's very clear that they're thinking as the world thinks. They're thinking in terms like the world thinks. Okay, great means that you're the leader, everybody's looking up to you, maybe you can tell everybody what to do, everybody can see, everybody knows that you're in charge. That kind of thinking, who's the greatest? And they weren't thinking properly. And Jesus turns them around and he says, okay, no. Now, and he finds a child that's there around them. He says, okay, look at this child. And he said to his disciples, now notice he starts out, truly. And whenever Jesus says, we know truly, he's saying, look, this, listen up. Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So he says, okay, no, you're thinking wrong. It's not the world's thinking of the greatest leaders or who is renowned that's great in the kingdom of God, but look at this child. You have to become like this child. And then he says, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus is talking about has a child of young age, so he's talking as that as an example, but the example we see clearly extends to all ages of people, to adults too, because he says whoever humbles himself like this child, so you're not like this child, you're older than this child, and maybe you're a leader, and maybe you're powerful, but unless you humble yourself like this child, you are not great in the kingdom of heaven. You won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. So there's this humility and this, we often say, childlike faith. Not a childish faith, but a childlike faith. The faith that believes, looks to God. So he's talking about adults too, which becomes apparent as he continues in his teaching. And then he starts talking in those next verses, not so much about your stature or demeanor, the way you're thinking, but he also is talking about your doing. So he says in verse 5, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. As we Christians receive one another in a humble way to serve, we receive Christ. And this is the only place he teaches us. He teaches us a number of times. And then the opposite. And whoever would offend or mislead one of these things and lead one to sin. Now, what he's talking about there, and it helps us with the next verses, is one who believes in me to sin. What does that, how do we understand that? Means that you would lead the little one not to believe in Jesus, to lose faith. And whoever would lead one of these who believes in me to sin, that is, to go away from me, notice that it would be better for that person if a millstone, a great big millstone that they turned and grind flour or wheat into flour and so forth, hung around your neck and thrown into the ocean. That's better than what God will do to you. Jesus wants people to lead one another, to not hinder one another, to come to him. God will punish false teaching that leads people away from him. He hates it. He hates for people to be misled away from him. That's what this text says. It would be better if you would be drowned in the depths of the sea, because what God will do to you is worse. Do not mislead. Let the little children come to me. Okay, these temptations are going to come. These temptations to turn away from Christ, to lead others away from Christ, they're going to come. But he says, don't let them come to you. They're going to come in the world, but woe to the one who by whom the temptation comes. So this temptation to sin that he's talking about in these verses right here, is what he had just talked about. That's why it's all one section. It's a continuous teaching. This sin to mislead others. That's the sin he's talking about. Do not allow yourself to mislead others. And then he talks about cutting off the hand, cutting off the foot, gouging out the eye. Don't mislead others. Let them come to me. Let them come to me. Then he gives that parable. And again, it's about the little ones. And again, remember, it's not only, it is age-wise little ones, but it's also adults. People who need to hear about Jesus. People who need comforting. People who need guiding with maybe some law. Because they're on the wrong way. And so they need to turn back to Jesus. They need to, as he says, turn and become like children. To turn and believe in him. That's the lost sheep. So it can be a little one, but it can be somebody of any age. And then he says something interesting, doesn't it? And it kind of pops out of nowhere. It's not really taught in much of Scripture. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. The good commentator who I use a lot for Matthew, Dr. Gibbs, a retired professor from our seminary in St. Louis, he went through this a little bit and he says, honestly, there's so little teaching about this. This is that teaching of the guardian angel, that type of idea. There's so little said about this in Scripture. He just says, let the word stand. He doesn't know how much more to say. He does mention, and those of you who studied in Revelation, that in the seven letters to the seven churches, there's the angel of each church is involved in the seven letters, and he mentions that. We don't know exactly how what he's meaning here, the angels, their angels, see their Father's face in heaven. That teaching is not broadened out or given more details elsewhere in Scripture. But that's enough. There's angels. They're angels. They're ministering spirits. Somebody God has assigned to them is in heaven with God the Father. What's the implication there? You mislead or you lead away one of these little ones, who is even against you? Their angel. The protection that God has for his people is against you. Heaven is against you if you would take one of these little ones away. How much does God want these little ones? Well, if there was one lost sheep out of 99, the shepherd is going to go and look for that. And when he finds that lost sheep, he rejoices. And he's giving that parable to express how much God wants the lost to come back to him, whether it's a child or adult, the little ones who are lost. Verse 14, he says, so, in conclusion there, talking about the parable, so it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And we remember in the English that perish means to be lost forever, not die and go to heaven. That's not perish. Perish means separated from God, to be lost forever. So it's not my Father's will that any of these would be lost, spiritually lost forever. God wants his sheep to be with him. The next section that follows here oftentimes is divided out under the title Church Discipline, Matthew 18, 15 through 19. And it's true, it is. But it's in the context of not losing anybody. It's in the context that Jesus says, don't be a stumbling block. Don't mislead anybody. Don't let them come to me. And we see his hope, his direction in that verse 15, the first part of that whole series of several verses. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. And that's the point. And then there's a process he talks about. Take two, then the church. But the whole point is to gain the brother, to gain the relationship back, to gain the fellowship back with Jesus. So the whole teaching is talking about the little ones. How did this all start out? All this teaching. The first couple of verses there. They had the wrong idea. They were thinking about greatness, and they were thinking about leadership, and they were thinking about glory or honor in the way the world is thinking. And Jesus says, no, you're not thinking right. Actually, the little one, the one who is humbled, the one who wants God, God honors and loves and searches for that soul and grab them in, hold them close. Don't offend them. Don't be under God's wrath. And go look for them. We Christians gathered in service and other activities at church often. He wants us to hear this word, that we also would have our eyes opened by the Holy Spirit and say, okay, I can say a word here and a word there and a word there, or I can pray. I've said many words and it's not doing anything, but I can pray and bring my concerns to God, because young or old, God wants his people who truly believe in him and depend on him, like a child depends on his father or mother, want him close and not lost. I was thinking about this, just age and being a little one of different ages. And their family, Barrett's and Violet's father, being a policeman, came to mind. Because sometimes in the world, we have responsibilities. And the world looks to us and needs our help as a help from a policeman. And yet, a policeman or somebody who is in that leadership role can be in more danger than little ones. So the father will protect the children, but somebody needs to protect the father and the mother and the grandmother. So it really applies to all ages, and our prayers are for people for all ages, that God's protection would be upon them, that their faith would be there, that they would know Jesus. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for these words from Jesus, which teach us how much you want people to turn to you in humility and faith, to look for your grace and protection. We ask you to be with us here, to always be humble in spirit towards you and to one another, and to serve one another. And we ask you also that same attitude of faith would be towards our families, our communities, all about that the sheep that may be wandering or lost would be brought to you, that would have your protection and your grace. And we ask you, too, that you would keep us in your word, whatever our age, young or older, that we would continue in your word and worship so that we are not lost, but that we will be in heaven with you forever. These things we bring to you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, at this time, we just have to make an announcement what goes next. We are going to sing one verse of the hymn, Hear Us, Father, When We Pray, one verse, 773. During that time, then the Sunday school teachers, the teachers also... Christian education includes our kids' connection, come up to be installed during the singing of that one verse. We'll do this rite of installation, and then after that, we'll sing the remaining verses. Please come forward, the teachers.
Hear us, Father.
Dear sisters in Christ, you are to be installed as Christian education staff for the 2023-2024 academic year at Zion Lutheran Church, a work in which our Father in heaven has great joy. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Beloved in the Lord, you are to assist me, the minister of word and sacrament, in the instruction of God's people according to his holy word. You are to prepare yourselves for this work by your individual and corporate study of the word of God, and the faith drawn from it as it has been delivered to us in the small catechism. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of this congregation, it is especially important that you show yourselves, by word and example, to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the position entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties in trusting in the Lord and conforming yourselves to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
I speak to the congregation now, so pay attention, you have to say something. Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these women. Do you promise to support them in your work, in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
Sisters in Christ, I install you as Christian education staff of Zion Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The Almighty and most merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your service, that you may be good and faithful leaders and teachers to the glory of his name and to the salvation of his people.
Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord, grant to these your people the gifts of wisdom and discretion, kindness and faithfulness, so that they may effectively teach and guide, and grant to all your people a ready willingness to learn. Let the knowledge of your word be preserved and extended among us, so that all may know and praise you now and forever. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen. Amen.
God's peace be with you. God's peace be with you. We sing the remaining verses of the hymn.
To say, and our wounded souls are pleading, may your spirit night and day groan within us interceding, by his sighs too deep for words, we
congregation is invited to stand. We pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church, printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pastors, that as God's watchmen, they may be faithful in calling sinners to repentance and joyfully announcing the Lord's forgiveness to those who heed their warning, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithful, that each of us may serve as our brother's keeper, both in our earthly families and among our brothers and sisters in Christ. and that we may owe no one anything except to love each other, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our leaders, that they would bear the sword righteously, and for all who protect us, especially our armed forces, emergency workers, police, and firefighters, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the ill, grieving, and lowly, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Sue, and Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, Carl, Denny, Carlos, Phyllis, and Pastor Scott Johnson. That they may remember that the Good Shepherd who loves them seeks and saves the one lost sheep, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all God's little ones, that they would not perish but be called back to him when tempted to stray, delivered from temptation and kept in the faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
We sing the closing hymn, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus.
to weep.